The Astrology Hour.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternatives.
And a happy, hearty, healthy, happy. I'll say happy again. Good afternoon to you, Southern California. Today we're going to do a topic on lethargy and some of the astrological symptoms. A lot of it sometimes occurring when we have major transits, major cycle pattern changes in life. Sometimes having Gemini transits or nervous transits or increased stress transits. Seems like lethargy is a problem that comes into our lives. If you don't know what lethargy is, it's usually an attitude or a mood where you don't feel like doing anything. You don't care about anything. You feel like giving up sometimes. Rumor has it some people that are extremely suicidal are also long-term lethargic people at times. And with Saturn and Uranus headed for Sagittarius once again, and both of those planets going opposition many of our Gemini planets that are late in Gemini from like 25 to 29 Gemini. Also, Saturn and Uranus will retrograde during the summer at the same time and square a lot of our Pisces planets. I'm sorry, Saturn and Uranus going into Sag will square our late Pisces planets and our late Virgo planets. So some of the symptoms that are cropping up right now are similar situations that people went through last year when Saturn and Uranus went through the end of Sagittarius and whacked a lot of us, especially those of us in our midlife crisis transits, 39, 40, 41 years old, people 41 years young, whatever, in that mode with Uranus in late Gemini particularly. If you also have late Virgo and Pisces planets to boot, then you may be starting to feel the effects of Uranus at actually zero Capricorn right now is opposition all of our Gemini planets from like 26 to 29. And square all of our Pisces Virgo planets from 26 to 29. And these type of transits, these mutable transits, can be a lot of confusion. They can fill us with tremendous details and a lot of critical choices. And sometimes you don't have enough time to give to yourself or enough time to take off to relax and to rest. And things seem to get so busy that after a while you start waking up in the morning, you're a nervous wreck, you're all stressed out, and lethargy seems to approach like, I don't feel like doing nothing type attitude. At the same time, we are also continuing with our analysis of your rising degrees. If you haven't called the Astrology Hour up yet, and you are a member, you will get one call during this segment this week to find out what your rising sign means if you know your degree of rising. If you've already heard your rising degree over the air, then give me another one of your planets, your sun degree or your moon degree, and we will give you, in my opinion, what I feel the essence of the soul definition of what that degree means as far as a God particle. Okay, this topic on lethargy is a kind of a strange topic. I'm sort of doing this topic for myself because I am having a transit. I don't like Pluto transits. They sometimes frighten me. And I have Pluto at 14 degrees Leo. I'm already having a Pluto square Pluto in my chart. Today, Mars is 14 Aquarius opposed my Pluto. And it brings back memories because every time I have had a Pluto transit, because Pluto is in my 10th house, I've either left my job or got fired or had some kind of massive transformation or gotten so lethargic I've just decided to take 6 months or a year off. And I'm not saying that I have those feelings because I'm not in danger of getting fired or quitting or anything like that. But still, the symptom remains. Because whenever you go through a Pluto transit, especially those of you with Pluto and Leo that have been going through this Aquarius stress, Mars opposition Pluto is not your best transit. Because you're subject to accidents, you're subject to the dropsies, you're subject to miscalculations, you lose some of your control, some of your organization. It's a frustrating transit. Sometimes it's a transit that tests your power and tests your ego and asks you whether you're where you really want to be. Would you rather be someplace else? It's one of those type of transits that can throw you on the other side of the planet on some beach somewhere. Now, there are all kinds of transits that will bring on lethargy. Of course, if you ever heard my topic, the show called Chart on Fire, one too many transits, like four or five parts of your chart may be under square opposition stress, and seems like whatever you do, whatever you try to do, life is so gestalt that there's a pain syndrome almost anything you touch.
You know Murphy's Law? Well, that's what today's topic is really about. I have found through my astrological research that whenever people are involved in a correlation where it seems that your life's responsibilities, where suddenly you look around you, and a lot of times if you remember playing careers or Monopoly or any of these games where you acquire stuff, you know, like you get this boat, you get this car, you get a plane, you get a house, you get family, you get married, you get kids, you turn around. The funny thing, the big test about life is that as we play this game called life, because we are in a material world where we are in the illusion state that there are possessions and that there are actually people that are outside of our own self. We feel like we're in a vacuum and that everything that we want is outside of ourselves. So we're conditioned by some of the ludicrous rules in this society and beyond this society, right? To try to acquire objects of desire, of need. An illusion is created inside of our heads where we think we need all these things. It goes really beyond and far out as to far as some of the ramifications behind what you would acquire. You know, like even pets sometimes can be a big responsibility. Babies and more furniture, more things to put up on the wall, and more items to stack the junk that you already have. I have a friend in New Jersey, and he makes me laugh, Mike Rilsky. Every time he gets a divorce or loses a job or has an accident or something drastic happens in his life because he has so many transits, he just picks up and moves and leaves everything he's acquired to that point behind. Everything. Wherever he is, furniture, possessions, movie cameras, everything. I sit there and go, Michael, you're leaving like $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 worth of stuff you've acquired behind. And he goes, yeah, I know I miss some of it. Boy, it sure is real simple to just pick up and leave, isn't it? And, you know, there's a big, heavy spiritual connotation behind that philosophy, too, if you think about it. But yeah, I look around my apartment. I've been living in this apartment for 11 years. And when I moved in this apartment, I just moved in with myself and not much furniture and just a few belongings that I'd accumulated. And because after I got divorced, my ex-wife took most of my furniture and a lot of my belongings. So, you know, after 11 years of living in this little loft apartment, there's a lot of stuff in there. You know, we got a business in there running the astrology hour. We have all these little toys and games and computers all over the place and birds all over the place. You find all this. So sometimes I used to think when I was younger, well, maybe I won't get married. Maybe I won't have kids. Maybe I won't buy a house. Maybe I won't create all this responsibility. But hey, somewhere or other, when you start to approach your 30s and your 40s and your 50s, you still accumulate things. Unless you're like Jesus or like Gandhi, you know, people that walk around in cloth sacks, sackcloth robes, right? And they don't own much. They don't even have a house. They just wander, right? Unless you're a person like that, then you pretty much accumulate stuff. Now, along the correlation, along these lines of accumulating objects that you think you need or you think you want, like people and like objects and such, and then you have a transit that tests all this accumulation. Because that transit, right, when you have certain transit situations, and if you don't know what a transit is, it means that your natal chart, which is like a circuit board, which is an electrical effect that affects every cell in your physical and your ethereal body, right? Because every cell in your physical and etheric body are like an imprint of that birth chart at birth. So when the planets are moving through the sky, they're literally moving through your body and setting off energy, electrical energy, that impels you to make certain choices or brings you to certain cliffs, whether you have to decide to try to swing across, jump, or turn back, right? And, you know, a lot of times people will look at these transits like those of you that are turning 30, you know, people that are going through their Saturn cycle, even kids that are turning 14 and 15, half Saturn cycle, people that are turning 45, another half Saturn cycle, right? You think just because you end one particular transit, then you enter another one. It never seems to end. This cycle of acquisition of materialistic things and acquisitions of physical and emotional obsessions like love and sex and romance. So once again, we're confronted with this philosophy that everything that we need is outside of ourselves, which is not true. Because when we come into this world, when we're born, we are born rich. We are born rich in spirit. And that is really all we take out with us is spirit. But in the course of growing up in this world, because we are struck dumb with this illusion of separation and uniqueness, we are conditioned to believe that we have to grow up and we have to become wealthy and we have to get married and we have to buy things and he who dies with the most toys win. Obviously, he who ends up with the most toys will probably die because of the stress of trying to manage the responsibility behind owning all these toys. So anyway, I was checking out some of my personal fantasies today and some of my personal possessions and, noticing that the boat has a major knock. Maybe there's been a rod thrown there and my windshield wipers don't work in my Chevy and my Buick, and my Chevy got rear-ended and the lights out in the back and the left and the bird cages all need to be cleaning and the rent needs to be paid and the insurance has to be paid, the health insurance and the boat insurance and the car insurance and the life insurance. You know, you look around and you go, oh my God, you know, after a while, you have a transit, right? And let's say Saturn is opposed your Venus and it's going on for about 6-7 months and you got more bills than you ever thought you ever wanted. And then all of a sudden Mars is opposed your Pluto and Uranus is opposed your Uranus and you're turning 30, you're having a Saturn return, or you're turning 40, you're having a midlife crisis, or you're turning 60, you're having a double second Saturn return, or you're turning 15, you're having a half Saturn return and you're having a heavy transit on top of it. That's when sometimes people look around and lethargy strikes. And the I don't give a damn, you know, I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore, I really don't care anymore, it seems to strike. And a lot of times, in order for me to identify why we get lethargic, really is because we get our spirits become tired of playing the game. And suddenly you get this vibration, I think I'm going to sell a couple of birds, and maybe I should get rid of the boat. Maybe I should sell one of the cars and move to a log cabin in the mountains and with a well and wind power solar generator and the heck with all these bills and worries and such. But what if you get sick? You still need a doctor. You still need health insurance. I am telling you, it is an incredible rat race that we live in, and it can boggle the mind. And you wonder why the planet Earth has seemed to have gone to hell. Because all of these people that are playing this game, all of these fresh, pure, innocent people, rich in spirit, born rich in spirit and die rich in spirit, they all get enthralled in this big game called life. Did you ever think it was hard to play Monopoly with 4 or 5 people sitting at the board? Well, how'd you like to play life with 5 billion players? Because that's what it's all about. And we all affect each other in this nuclear world that we live in. Choices made affect life and death on every basis, every day. At the same time, the symptom of being obsessed with too much materialism and too much obsession that you think you need outside of your own self, as triggered by a transit like a chart on fire or a heavy cycle pattern you're going through, is lethargy. And if you do get lethargic, I relate. I understand. Now, in the next segment of today's show, we're going to talk about how to pull out of lethargy, how to start creating some happiness and some value in your life tied to the spirit. All right, Southern California, I'm Farley Malaris, and you are listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative here, weekdays at 12 noon for your enjoyment. Today's topic is called lethargy. Let's talk about how to overcome it now. Well, you know, it goes back to the old point when I started talking about this topic today, that when babies are born, you know, they are so innocent. I've been looking at my Aries canaries, my baby canaries, the past couple of weeks. They're a little over 2 weeks old now, and they're just, babies have so much innocence. I don't know if you've noticed that some people almost reflect that kind of glow right before they die, too. I don't know if you've ever been around somebody that died, but it seems like everything in between is like gunk. It's like the garbage. So the people that are being born in this dimension and people leaving this dimension seem to somehow remember or somehow retain that spiritual glow. Well, in the middle of the game, when you're all wrapped up with your life and your possessions and everything that you have so artfully created in your actions, words, deeds, thoughts, what you've written down, you manifest all this stuff. Well, sometimes you come to a point where you realize that it's too much for you, and you just can't take it. And that's when the lethargy strikes. And more than just needing a physical vacation, which can also serve to be a very, very valuable tool, it's important to remember where we really are our richest and our wealthiest, in spirit. You know, I believe that all people do have the formula in their soul's circuit, the formula for the God spark. But I also believe that people can live life after life after life without what we would call cultivating this spark. So even though I truly believe down deep in my heart that we are all one with God, at the same time, I also believe that a majority of people are not conscious of this, so therefore there is no spirit cultivation. And without spirit cultivation, I hate to say this, but a human being can be like unto a soulless husk. And that is really where this world and this planet and the people involved in it, we are taken down the dark path, down the dark road, right? We are manipulated into thinking that cocaine and cigarettes and coffee and meat, right? And also all kinds of drugs and money and cars and houses and sex and all these things we are conditioned to think that we need. I heard a funny story yesterday on KFOX about how the diet industry manipulates the planet by conditioning everyone to think they're too fat and conditioning everyone to think they should be on a diet. Even skinny people drink Diet Coke, right? But it's all like a big scam. It's all a big travesty. It's total propaganda, in my opinion. So I think more than ever, when we have these tough transits like I personally am having that bring on this lethargy because you don't feel like being a pawn in the game anymore, I think the best resolution and the best formula to pull out of it is to be spiritual, is to get back into your spiritual nature and to cultivate that God spark inside of you so you can open your chakras and blossom and feel something much more valuable, much more powerful, much more loving and binding to your soul, and much more comfortable than anything you could possibly imagine that could occur in this dimension or concerning anything, even a hot fudge sundae, in this dimension. And, you know, if people say to me, "So, okay, Farley, how do you become spiritual?" Well, if you get one of our offers that includes my life improvement guide, then you'll find a whole lot of ways there. Also, in Lighting the Light Within, the book by Dick Sutphin that we include. But I think calming yourself and centering yourself and closing your eyes without sleeping in a lotus position or sitting up or just reclining and just meditating on some tones that are pleasant to you are some words that seem to make you feel better. Your own creation. You know, 20, 30 minutes, or however long you want. Just keeping your eyes closed, not if you're driving, of course, but focusing on things, vibrations, and scenes that you would create using that power of God, the power of the mind that you have to create an environment, because you are omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient in your own right. You can create an environment in your own mind that is an eternal environment that can actually overcome and overwhelm anything in this life that could bother you. And at the same time, you try to focus on a tone or try to focus on several words that might be calming to you. Another part of your mind will start processing the stress and the obsessions and the attachment to materialism and sex and lust and food and all this stuff. So sometimes it's not easy to meditate, but if you try it, and also you can pick up the TM book too, which is a good book as far as learning how to meditate. But you can also meditate on a universal mantra like Ayom Aya, just over and over again, just saying Ayom Aya, Ayom Aya, not out loud, but in your head, with your mind's voice, Ayom Aya. And suddenly all the difficulties and all the stress and all the complications and all the ramifications and the bills and the problems and the questions and the cigarettes and the drugs and the weight doesn't seem to be that severe, doesn't seem to be that serious when you just Ayom Aya for about 20, 30 minutes. And then you plug in to your spirit self. If you're really good at meditating, then you'll finally reach that billowy stage, that one that I love where you can finally feel your oneness and you can feel the pillowy vibration, the pillowy energy that surrounds your whole body. It's like being thrown into a barrel with thousands of huge love pillows. You're just like numb. You can't even move because you love this feeling, this vibration that takes you away from this dimension. And all people can plug into this. Unless you're a total hardcore skeptic, right? And you've totally shut down your chakras with food and with meat, with drugs. And you know what? Let me tell you something. One of the reasons why we have problems in our life and problems in our health is because of all the sacrifice going on. When you eat a hamburger, you know, that's almost satanic sometimes. I'm not saying definitely it is, but in a way, you're creating a sacrifice. You're having a meal, you're eating a prime rib, right, or a ham sandwich, or even a turkey sandwich, right? You're sacrificing this animal in your body. Your body's a temple of God, but you're throwing a dead animal in there. So if you're having a bad day and you're being negative, you're kind of actually throwing like a negative curse or a black blessing on your life because of all this meat eating. You know, I've been having some problems myself because I'm occasionally susceptible to a burger, but I haven't had any red meat for about 3 weeks now. You know, I've been feeling a heck of a lot better. I've cut down that sacrifice factor. Sometimes vegetarians know what they're talking about. You know, controlled vegetarianism is not really a bad idea. So, you know, I hope this helps a lot of you. Sometimes I come up with these topics out of left field because sometimes I come to the conclusion that this is something that you all need to hear or the majority of you need to hear. And obviously, if you do want to go further into this sort of topic, you should probably take up meditation. Buy a couple books on it or take up TM or just practice the Aum, Aya, tonal meditation we've talked about in today's show. All right. Now, we are ready to go to the phones. Roya doesn't have a last name. How come?
Do you need my last name?
You know, I really can't let a person on the air without last names.
Well,
don't tell us, but next time you call, make sure to give it to my producer. I won't let you on.
Okay.
What's your question?
Well, your topic was exactly for me. I really felt good about listening to it.
Thank you.
I need to ask you a question about my sister, and her birthday is on September 18, 1960, which is, she's about a year older than me.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you about her and her relationship with me, and how can I get closer to her, and how can I have a better relationship with her?
Well, she has a Gemini-Sagittarius stress in her chart. A Gemini is the vibration that rules brothers and sisters. And she has Mars in Gemini with a Jupiter opposition in Sagittarius, which is very karmic for most people that have Gemini stress in their chart as far as trying to deal with brothers and sisters. Is this relationship with your sister extremely karmic?
We don't understand each other. We always have problems as far as communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you don't really stress out her chart as much, but sometimes she may be a little confused in the way she does things, and that might bother you. Do you relate to that?
Sort of.
Sometimes. I don't know. A lot of times when we're born in family groups, we're not always born to best friends and people that we have close connections with. Oftentimes we're born around people that we're enemies with and that we have a debt to pay off. And oftentimes we find stress between the mother, the father, and the brothers and the sisters and the children in order to absolve the stress. So sometimes it's best to leave a person alone until they come around on their own. Give it some time. Be patient. Maybe things will improve as time goes on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Martha now, who has a question about a friend. Hi.
Hi. I was calling about my nephew.
This is a baby?
Yeah.
Aw. What'd you want to know?
I just wanted to know what his life might be like.
You mean this baby was just born?
Yeah.
It's got the same chart as my little Aries Canaries. Except this is a Taurus baby.
Yeah, Taurus.
Uh-huh. Looks like the child has a void course Cancer moon on April 22nd. The moon was void course all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I think that the spirit in this child is unbelievable. It's almost like a master's chart. Sun and Mercury in Taurus, double trine, Uranus and Saturn in Capricorn, and then that Mercury also caught a trine to Neptune. So, wow, tremendous Earth compliments for this child. Venus and Mars and Aquarius trine each other should help relationships and finance for the child. Also, very psychological baby, very intelligent baby. We're looking at a high IQ here. We also have a Jupiter trine Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. So this baby is loaded with trines, which tells me that this child must have done a lot of good in a past life, although it is still shown to be the warrior also from the Jupiter-opposed Pluto. So I do expect a few conflicts in its growth. Okay?
Thank you very much, Far.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Far. I like that. Let's go to Yvonne now on line 3, Aries Leo Rising. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Excellent.
That's good. I wanted to get an analysis of my rising sign.
What degree is it?
26-38.
Okay. I think I've already done a 26 Leo, but let me double check in my brain. Okay. Well, okay. I'll do it for you because you're so sweet.
Thank you. I just listened to the show one day when you did the original topic, and
uh-huh.
When I heard you say you would do it again.
Okay. The 26th degree of Leo offers the essence of that vibration is a promise of success shadowed yet by anger and frustration, a realization of self-worth during your life cycle, and a search for true analyzation of the ability to maintain control, especially emotionally. Okay?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Hang in there. Bye.
It does. Thank you.
Okay. Let's go to Jan on line 4, Capricorn Aries Rising. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I know what you want.
What?
Your Aries Rising.
Well, I was thinking of that. I'm real interested in my North Node, too.
That's funny because you're the first person to call with the first degree in the zodiac, Aries 1. No one's called.
Okay. Well,
and when you have Aries 1 degree rising, it's pretty powerful because it's the first degree.
Okay.
A lot of people who would claim to be new souls would have that. So which one, where's your north node?
In Scorpio.
What degree?
It in Scorpio in the 8th house, 26 degrees.
Okay, well, because you're so nice, what we'll do is, we're not going to do this for all of our callers, but I'm going to do Aries 1 because no one's called with it, and then we'll go to your north node. Scorpio what, 24?
26.
Okay. The Aries 1, the first degree of the zodiac, the essence of this vibration is the innate desire to become, awareness of life's potentials, a seeking of the destiny pattern. Okay?
Okay.
Heavy, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, and the Scorpio 24?
26.
A resurrection of self from the ashes of past mistakes. A strong reserve of power is called upon to soar farther aloft. Okay?
Oh. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Joy now on line 5, May 22nd, 47, Scorpio rising. Hi.
Hi, how are you, Farley?
Very good.
I was very interested in your topic. I had never thought of lethargy being the result of too much stimulation, and when you said that, it was like perfect.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. It's like, because materialism is so limited, everything, I hate to say this, but almost everything that I have confronted in life can get boring.
Yeah.
Or seem out of sorts. Or it's like, if we don't have something or someone or somebody, it reminds me like in the movie of Casual Sex, when Leah Thompson kept chasing after this stud, right? And here's safe sex, right? She went after the same guy that thousands of women go after. When she finally got him, the next day, you know, when they moved in together the next day, she was depressed because she got bored with it already.
Absolutely.
And that's what life is. All you really need is the spirit, but you're under the travesty that you think you need everything.
Absolutely.
And everybody. That's why when people get married, this comedian Sam Kennison, when he starts talking about marriage, you know, he says, oh, so you want to get married, huh? Yeah. He goes, I don't have to go to hell. I've been married for 2 years. Yeah. What can we do for you?
Well, I was wondering, in line with the lethargy issue, because I have been experiencing that and couldn't understand it in view of all the stimulation that was going on, is there anything in my chart indicating that this is going to break free? Or?
Yeah, well, you're having a midlife crisis, you know. And a lot of people in their 40s, early 40s, and just turning 40 are just right where you are. It's weird because when you get done with the 40 years that seem to go by so quick, you know, you say to yourself, well, what do I have left to look forward to here? If I do another 40 years, I'll be 80. That's if I survive, you know. And then you try to take a look at everything you've accomplished. Then you start getting this fear of mortality, this fear of death, this fear of vulnerability, this vibration where you're not sure whether you've done everything you possibly can up till 40. And then, of course, on approach to 30, you're in a madness phase where you try to acquire all those things you think you want and things you think you need. Well, obviously, with all this Taurus in your chart, you've been getting a lot of trines that has brought you people and money and success in your life. And at the same time now, of course, you're being tested by it. And you're kind of like Leah Thompson, who finally captured the stud, and you may be bored with it all.
Well, and then having it all wrenched away in the last 3 years.
Yeah, that too. So the midlife crisis transit typically lasts from 38 and a half to around 43 or 44.
Oh, great.
And then you have your half Saturn return at 45, when Saturn's opposed Saturn. So, you know, you can't win. So I say, carry your bag of spiritual riches around with you wherever you go. And as long as you remember to retain a spiritual priority and place the essence of the God self as what is really important and what is really fun and blissful, then I don't think you can let anything in life really get to you. That's my philosophy.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Farley.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, let's go to Dana now on line 7, a Scorpio Aries rising. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Dana.
Well, guess what? I was going to ask my Aries, but I was an Aries 1.
Oh, my. Two at the same time. You got, maybe you two should become friends. Wow, yeah. That's compatible.
So I'd like to ask my son.
Okay, Scorpio. Good. What degree?
2.
All right, here's a degree we haven't heard yet. And all this, all the Libra and Scorpio degrees are very intense because once we cross into the upper hemispheres or the top 6 signs, then we're talking more evolution here.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 Scorpio is a sacrifice needed of past remembrances. An entry into a new realm of consciousness, surrender is given to evolution. Make sense?
Yes, it's wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Elsa now on line 8, Taurus Aquarius rising. Hi.
Hi, how are you, Farley?
Very good.
Finally, I get to talk to you.
Yo, yeah.
I really want to know what's the analysis of my sun rise, but I have Pluto and Zero Leo 39 on the sixth house. I don't know which one is more important.
Well, I think your rising sign is the most important of anything in the chart, so you should probably go with that. What's your Aquarius rising degree?
433.
Oh, that's one I haven't heard yet. Aquarius 4, the essence of that vibration, is a need for self-discipline, a major desire to heal, and a calling forth of natural energies of universal power. It's one of the more powerful degrees of the first 10 of Aquarius. Okay?
Okay,
thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Terry now on line 6, a Libra with Sag rising. Hi, Terry.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine. I think I won't be selfish, and I'm going to call in for my husband.
Okay.
He never gets to call in with the hours he works. Okay, his rising is 19 Cancer.
There's one I haven't heard yet. See, I remember them all.
Okay.
And the essence vibration behind the degree of 19 Cancer, which is the God point, the rising sign is the God point or the self point in all charts. This is a joining of past experiences with new current concepts, a need for cohesiveness of spirit purpose and potential, a desire to be productive and the producer.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Susan now, the Aquarius with a Pisces 15. Hi.
Hi, Molly.
I haven't done the Pisces 15 yet, and it's so intense, I have to tell you.
Okay.
A battle against ghosts of the past, a preparation for inner conflict. Plans need solidifying for psychic programming. I just wanted to let you know what that was.
No, what I wanted to go for was regarding your subject today, your title of lethargy.
Okay.
I've just left one job, and I've been trying to get into some other ones, and I just haven't...
You know, wait a sec. Okay, now, you're worried about your career. Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, frankly, I would think, well, because you're Pisces rising, you've been through a lot of karma in that area from all the Sag transits the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you're probably fed up and pretty much had enough with this whole area of career vibration.
Right.
You are so psychic and powerful with your Pisces rising that I would think that if you meditated and became spiritual and pulled away from that Virgo moon of yours for a while and Mars and Gemini, which can be so mental and so worrisome, that you might be able to manifest something a lot better for you. See, like, it is your own attachment to this dimension and some of the fears you have as to what can go wrong that creates this wrongness in your life. If you plug into your Pisces rising more, I think you can create a more blissful state. Your chart is totally power of the mind, and there's no reason why you shouldn't be making a lot of money with a magnificently successful career imminent, okay?
Oh, that's great.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Let's go to Dave now, Gemini Virgo rising. Yo, Dave.
How are you doing, Farley?
Oh, Dave, Bocha Dave.
Yeah, how's it going? So I was kind of curious about, I haven't heard the 4 degrees Virgo rising, but I was also curious about the, I have Mercury at 28 Gemini.
Well, I'll do both for you because you have donated so much to the show. I want you to know this man has individually donated these thousands of books, coming back the science of reincarnation to the show, so no problem. The fourth degree of Virgo is one of the more special degrees of the earlier degrees of Virgo. The essence of this, and it's going to blow your mind, it's a desire to promote brotherhood, a rising to the call of fellowship, a complete negation of prejudices. Heavy, huh?
Wow.
That definitely puts you in encapsulation, too. And then the 20th degree of Gemini is interesting. It's a preparation for achieving a new level, acceptance of temporary confusion, and a need to constantly assemble all data within. Okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care, bud.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, God, so many wonderful people connected with the show, like Dave Boja. Let's go to Alma now, a Cancer with Libra rising. Hey, Alma.
Oh, hi, Farley.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I was in a dilemma as to whether or not to ask about my rising. Or
I'm not going to tell you about your rising.
Yeah, okay.
No way.
All right, then, I would like to ask.
even though it is one of the more powerful degrees in the entire zodiac.
Oh,
Libra 8. No, I'm not kidding. We're talking about God here.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you want to be selfish and ask about something else, right?
Well, no, I have a friend that I've been seeing who's...
I can't believe this is one of the most powerful degrees in the whole zodiac, Libra 8, and you don't even care. That goes against my whole philosophy of what this is all about.
Well, since I trust you and believe in you, I'll take my rising.
Alma, you're going to get cosmically spanked here. Libra 8 is a hope burning brightly for divine accomplishment, a desire to reach within and learn forgiveness of self. It's a release of selfishness, a search for something and someone to inspire. And if you adhere to that, everything in your life will work.
Well.
Okay?
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Gotcha. Let's go to Ray now on line 4, Sag, Leo Rising. Hello, Ray.
Hi, Charlie. How are you?
Real good.
Just a Leo 29.
Just a Leo. We should write a song like that. Just a Leo 29. Standing on the line. Okay. Longing for physical relationships to help release frustrations. Does that make sense? Energy source, high in physicality with Leo 29. Huh. Tangible love battles, higher conscious mind form of cosmic love. Huh. So physical connection results in cosmic evolution.
Boy, sounds like me right down the line.
And you're in the middle of a lovemaking session right now, right?
Well, not yet.
Okay, but you're always looking, right?
Always looking.
Okay, Ray, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Uncle Michael on line 5, Gemini Libra Rising. Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Hey, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Topic was excellent, totally related.
Okay, yeah.
Just ding, right in there. Okay. I'm a Libra, 25.
God, that's great. That's one I haven't heard. Isn't it funny how people call and all the different numbers are calling? Okay, this one is an understanding of death as a prelude to rebirth. Mm-hmm. A desire to know the workings of the spirit between lives and past lives and reincarnation involvement. A culmination of memories of past lives in instinctive intuitive visions.
Whoa.
See what I said?
Pretty heavy.
Thank you, Guy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Let's go to Trudy, a double Gemini. Hi.
Hello.
I haven't heard this one yet.
A Gemini 4.
Farley, Gemini 4. I've talked to so many people this week. I feel like I'm on a game show or something. A protest against ostentatious ideals. A movement back in time to the natural pleasures, an inclination sometimes towards not being real.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yes, thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Mary on line 7 at double Capricorn. Hi, Mary.
Hello, Farley.
I haven't heard this one yet.
Oh, good. 19 degrees Capricorn.
All right. Are you ready?
Sure.
Well, as far as Capricorns go, I think this one is fairly interesting. Let's see if I can... Oh, I lost this one. No, I'm just kidding.
Only fairly interesting? Okay.
Let's see. Okay. A realization of man's role in the economic structure of world trade. An intensified effort at diplomacy. A need to balance diplomacy with strength of dynamic action.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's go with one more. Pamela on line 8, Gemini Cap Rising. Hi.
Hi there. 11.
People call up with these numbers. People listening to the show go, what are they talking about? Well, got to be in the light, I guess. Capricorn 11 is a desire to balance species of Earth, an awakening of compassion, a desire for beauty and perfection in nature for society's sake. Okay?
Very good. Thank you.
God bless you.
Bye.
And for the first time in a whole year, I've taken all my calls, so I deserve a cookie. Well, everybody, now, after today's topic, I guess you're wondering what I'm going to do. Well, I guess I'm going to have to center myself and calm myself and close my eyes and meditate so I can overcome this lethargy just like everybody else might have. And that's what I like to do, actually, after the show anyway, is calm down and meditate and relax. It's always fun. And I think that you are one special group of people. I invite you to return to KFOX weekdays from 12 noon to 1 o'clock. To tune into the Astrology Hour, we just ask for a slice of pie out of your day. We're on from 12 noon to 2 o'clock on Tuesdays, 93.5 FM, KFOX. And that's pretty much it, okay? And we'll see you real soon. How about weekdays on KFOX 93.5 FM at 12 noon? Have a nice day. Have a meditative day. Bye-bye.